Could someone on Zoom give me a thumbs up if you can hear me through the microphone? Thanks, Catherine. I'm going to try my portable mic and then we will be off and running in a few minutes. And can you hear me through this microphone? Thank you. All right, we are at 3:30, so I'm going to get started. Welcome, everyone. I'm glad you could make it this afternoon. I know it is getting late in the day, and people are shuttling off to their rooms to have a rest before happy hour. I get it. But thanks for being here. My name is Susan Kimball. I'm the head of Access Services at Amherst College, and I'm here to talk to you today about eReserve Plus, a Folio Course Reserves app. Can get my screen to advance, that'd be awesome. There's my clicker. All right. So, what is eReserve Plus? That's where we're going to start. And then I'll talk to you a little bit about how we use eReserve at Amherst. And before I show you what it looks like in Folio, and then we'll talk a little bit about the future possibilities in the development of the app, both in and outside of Folio, and then take questions. So first, what is eReserve Plus? So eReserve Plus is a third-party web application, a content management tool that for providing course content embedded in course management systems to students. It is a standalone system developed by several years ago by a company, an Australian company called eReserve Plus. It is a web-based application. It manages course materials. It behind the scenes, it has a structured database containing locally digitized and external resources. So you can provide links to external things as well as things you've digitized and put up on, in the database. It is it links those to courses and semesters, and it's made available to and organized by the faculty of the course. It streamlines copyright assessment and tracking. And then it also is a reporting and analysis tool. So the copyright assessment and tracking, sort of that alternative to the Wild West that we many of us know about, with our faculty putting whatever up on the websites that may or may not be password protected, but certainly don't always comply with the best practices of copyright compliance. It also has robust metadata standards, which allow you to manage the copyright, because in order to manage the copyright, you need to know the publisher, you need to know the details about how it was created and who the stakeholders are. So it allows you to stay in compliance and reduce risk for the institution. So some of the features of eReserve Plus include an integrated that it's integrated with a learning management tool. So it is using LTI, it can integrate with Moodle, with Canvas, with Blackboard, whatever you are using at your institution. It supports various eReserve workflows. So I'm going to talk today about how we use it at Amherst, but it is also, there are infinite ways that you could implement it at your institution. So it could be anything from the library has sole responsibility for managing electronic reserves to a distributed model where faculty, academic staff, and library staff are all involved. It has an assessment tool for fair use or fair dealing, which is used in some countries, and copyright license assessment as well. So I'm going to show you again how we've implemented it with the CCC, but it also can be used in lots of different ways. So if your institution relies on fair use, it allows you to keep track of that assessment and keeps it with the resources. So if there's ever a question, you can show that you've gone through the proper steps to assess the fair use. It also provides an auditable kind of paper trail for that, so that if there's ever a challenge, you can respond to that. It has a responsive, accessible student experience. So it's able to show in display on laptops, desktops, mobile, which many of our students are now using their phones to read their e-reserves. And so it is adaptable to that as well. And then it also is fully accessible, so that screen readers and other assistive technologies can be used to allow users who have accommodations to view the material or access the material. And then finally, it has really robust analytics on the resources that are used, the courses are used for, the amount that's being used, licenses that are covering it, and student usage. So how much are students actually reading or at least opening these resources? There's real-time and historical analytics. So faculty can assess student engagement. Libraries can assess whether collection development decisions need to be made based on what is available in the analytics. So this is a view of the responsive, accessible student experience. You can see it adapts to whatever screen size you're on. So it basically connects the library and the campus through this middle piece of software. So you see students and faculty on the left. They interact with eReserve Plus through the course management system. That means they're not directly going into eReserve. They are viewing material through the learning management system. They're requesting material through the learning management system and organizing it there as well. So they never need to have direct access to eReserve. Faculty can search the library's resources through Discover. They can, and then directly through that, they can request that they be added to their reading list. And in some cases, add it directly, even though that's not how we do it at Amherst, but it's possible. They can also, students can access material embedded in their course site at the point of learning. And library staff at the top of the screen don't always have access to directly to the course management system. So if you have responsibility for providing curricular content, but you don't have access to the course management system, this is a way that you can actually insert that through this third-party software directly into the LMS. And then if copyright responsibility is held elsewhere, whether that's academic staff or their legal staff or whatever, that responsibility can also be done directly in eReserve Plus. And then the folio inventory data on the right is brought into eReserve Plus through the discovery layer. So, how do we use eReserve at Amherst? So, the obligatory about Amherst slide. Just to give you the context, we are a small liberal arts college in Western Mass. We have a great deal of diversity across our academic departments and autonomy. So that means everyone does it their own way, and the library has to sit in the middle of that and figure out how to meet the needs of our users in all the ways that they show up to us. If they give us their list written on a cocktail napkin, we have to figure out how to use that. Hand in hand with that, the library has a very strong service culture. So we really want to do our best to meet the needs of our users, and that means that we take the cocktail napkin, such as it is. It's gotten better. We're training them. We also are in a consortial environment. So we share a library system, a folio implementation with the five colleges, which is Amherst, Smith, Mount Holyoke, and Hampshire Colleges, and the University of Massachusetts Amherst. And so that is a complicating factor, but it's a factor that comes into play as we think about how to move forward with eReserve in folio. We have shared a library system as long as we've had a library system. We've had a single library system from LS2K through III to Aleph, and when we finally moved to folio in July of 2022. Oops. Let's try that. So here's how we got to eReserve Plus. Prior to implementing it, I started at Amherst as the science librarian, and my first eReserve job was to put up static links on pages. And those pages were on the library website, and they mostly pointed to science e-journal content because that was what was available in 2001. And it wasn't until about 2009 that we decided we wanted to expand our eReserve offerings because faculty were starting to ask for things like book chapters and articles that were not available electronically, that we needed to be able to digitize and make available as a PDF file. And the HTML pages, we had to solve where are we going to put all these PDFs? So we created a really, what served us very well for years, a homegrown system that was built in Drupal, which was a content management system that we had just implemented for our whole website. And it allowed us to expand to these chapters and articles that were not born digital. And it really did do us a great service, as you can see, for more than a decade. Around 2018 is when we started saying that this might not be our long-term solution, that we might need to seek an alternative. A major Drupal upgrade was always like right on the horizon. We're going to upgrade to this version any minute, and it's going to basically be an all-in or all-out situation. You're either going to have to upgrade our eReserve system that we had built from the ground up, or we were going to have to look to another solution. Well, we decided to move to another solution. And what we ended up looking at was sort of as we did a survey of the eReserve systems out there, we found eReserve Plus, which we hadn't really known about. It's an Australian company, as I mentioned. It wasn't really on our radar. And when we found out about it, we sort of fell in love instantly. We started a trial in March of 2021, knowing that we really needed to implement. We needed something for the fall because Drupal was getting upgraded over the summer. So we were not going to be able to use our old system. So we really started this really robust trial in March, and the intent was to implement in the fall. So we were simultaneously finalizing our decision about eReserve Plus while we were also laying the groundwork for our production environment. So the good news is that eReserve Plus has a very well-oiled implementation plan. So it was basically three steps. We needed to ingest our existing content. We'd been on this old system for more than a decade. We had so much content, and we were able to migrate 4 semesters worth of data, which included the courses and the semesters that they were taught, the metadata about all the readings that were in there, links if they existed. And then my favorite part was we actually got the associated PDF. So all the digitizing work that we'd done for years was able to be preserved when we moved over. It was a critical move to preserving hundreds of hours of cumulative labor that we had put in over the years. We also made an arrangement where, even though we decided only 4 semesters, they had the content for 7 semesters or 7 years, actually. So whenever we had a course that was being taught that wasn't it part of the original rollover, they were able to pull that and get it in for us within 24 hours, which was quite amazing. We next had to configure our copyright integration. So, as I mentioned, we use the Copyright Clearance Center. So, we have the annual license from CCC, and we had been essentially checking every article and chapter manually to see if it was covered by the license. So, even though we had big blanket license, a lot of stuff wasn't covered. So, we had to look up every single reading. And then this was an integration we were able to say, okay, do we want the CCC integration or do we want the fair use assessment tool? And you can decide based on what your approach is at your institution. And then we configured the Moodle integration. So that we set up so that when you create a reading list in Moodle, it would generate the associated list in eReserve Plus, and it would automatically make that connection between the two on the fly as needed per semester. We also included the plugin, which allows you to embed resources directly into the course content. And then in fall 2021, we went live. 4 years later, we process more than between 3,500 and 4,200 requests per semester. That's individual readings across all disciplines, with an average of about 65% links to about 35% uploaded PDFs. We have nearly 30,000 articles currently in the database across almost 1,700 courses. So I'm going to start by showing you the end product, embedded resources within our course management tool, Moodle, and then I'll go back and show you the back end of eReserve. So the eReserve link appears on every Moodle page. So when courses are generated in Moodle by our IT department, this eReserves link is there regardless of any faculty intervention. The faculty can hide it if they don't have eReserves. Sometimes they hide it if they do have eReserves, but don't get me started. That makes it possible for the library to provide eReserve support to anyone, even if faculty never touch Moodle, which is really important. Remember that diversity of our faculty. We have faculty who don't use Moodle at all, and then we have power users and everywhere in between. So we really needed a solution that was going to allow us to show this content to students even without help from the faculty. When a student clicks through to see their resources, they can see them either organized by the faculty, like you see here. So you could have faculty can go in once the content is there and organize it into weeks, into folders, et cetera, or they can just leave it as it is. And then if they go straight to the list, they can just, it can also, the list can also be organized in any order. It can be in no order, it can be in alphabetical order, or it can be in folders. The faculty get to choose how it appears. And again, if they don't do anything, it just shows up in the order that we put it in. And then this is the final screen. It's a little hard to see without the context around it, but this is an embedded, these are embedded links within the content of the course. So this is in week 4. The student opens the week to see what's up this week. It actually is this week. And And you can see these readings. You can see they have the ability to see if it's a required or a recommended reading. They can open it using the open link. And these, it tells one is a book chapter, an uploaded PDF, and the other one is a journal link, a journal article with a link. And so that is how they access those materials directly in the course. Research shows that there's greater engagement with students who have the readings embedded in the course like this. Again, this isn't required, but the plugin in Moodle allows this to happen so that faculty have more ability to engage with the have the students engage with the content while also managing the copyright of it. So we're not worrying that they're putting stuff out there that we're going to get sued for. So within the LMS, faculty can manage resources from submitting requests for added materials to organizing that material into folders and embedding readings in their content. Faculty can view student usage also. So here's an example of how they can group the content. This looks very similar to what you just saw. This is the faculty view. If you look on the upper right, you can see that they have some other options. And they can even view what the students view from within Moodle. This is all within Moodle. They have not left their course. They come right to it through the eReserve link the same way the students do. So the other advantage for faculty is that they can really see how students are using this material, or at least how they're opening it. Again, you can't know that a student actually read it, but you can know if they are reading it. I mean, if they're opening it. So if you look to the in the upper left, you can see that 11 students have engaged with this content across all readings. That's a total of 191 accesses across all the readings. And then there are 21 total readings in the list. On the right side here, you can see for this particular reading, this has been opened by 6 individual students and a total of 13 times. So this gives really good information to our faculty who want to know whether or not they're going to show up to a class and have students be prepared. If the students haven't opened the article, the chances are less likely that they might be prepared. These usage counts will come up whether they access it through the eReserve link or through the embedded resources in the content. You need to use a mic. Do you have a question? I'll repeat.
Do they just get the counts, or do you actually see which students actually?
Very good question. So the question is whether or not they get the counts or the individual students. That is up to the implementation. So at the time of implementation, you can decide. So Moodle gives a huge amount of detail about what students do in the, I mean, all LMS systems do. There's some control over how much you collect or create. But yes, if you, this is why this part is not a live demo, because I'm not going to click on that because you'll see actual student names. So yeah, it, and that is a real, it's a conversation to have because it was a real concern for us. But it is something that's already in Moodle, which is why we decided to keep it there. All right. So what is the library experience? So at Amherst, we have a distributed workflow. As I said, we have a lot of different players, a lot of different levels of experience and use of content. And at Amherst, the library staff creates reading lists and digitizes print resources. So we get syllabi from faculty and reading lists, bibliographies, and we either roll over previously used content, which one of the biggest benefits of having a system is that content is very easy to roll over. You've used it one semester, you digitize it once. We do it extreme. We spend a lot of time digitizing and making things accessible because it's an investment for that reading for its entire life cycle, which could be years and years and years. If we have faculty that stay, they often use the same readings over and over. And so we want to be able to make a good effort on that one time and reuse that. We we basically, for new readings, we bring them in through our discovery system. And we right now use Zotero as sort of a gateway into eReserve Plus. Zotero is an amazing tool for parsing bibliographic data and getting it into a standard format. And then when we do that, we're able to put everything in Zotero and then import it in one fell swoop into eReserve for a whole course. It's very easy to do, and it's helped us save a huge amount of time. We also digitize and then upload the articles or chapters that have those associated that are not available electronically. Obviously, our preference is to link everything that we can, which we do, but we do not always have electronic access to everything. So the faculty and the academic staff, so we have department coordinators who work in each academic department, they have responsibility for doing everything else. Anything on the Moodle side, anything related to organization or embedding, the library can't take on all of that. So that's the distributed part. They, like I said, they don't have to do anything, but they can do a whole lot if they want to. So once the metadata is in eReserve, they can go ahead and do that, all that work. Copyright management currently is outsourced at Amherst. So this is only for digitized material. So for links, we don't need to do any copyright management. And eReserve knows that, and it automatically makes material available to students that have a link. If it is an uploaded PDF, however, there is an approval process where we get feedback directly from eReserve through an API that checks with the Copyright Clearance Center, and we know exactly what's covered by the license. So we can immediately approve everything that's covered by the license without any additional work. Once we're done with that, we can get a report from eReserve of digitized material that is not covered by the license, and we actually send that out to be covered by an external vendor. So I'm going to show you a little, if I can switch over to my, let's see, eReserve Plus. So this is, before we look at eReserve in Folio, we'll take a quick look at Amherst eReserve's instance so I can show you the CCC integration. As I said, it's customizable. So depending on your workflow at your institution, you can decide whether you want the CCC integration or in another country, your country's copyright organization, or a fair use assessment, which takes you through steps for each reading to say that this is fair use. So basically what we're looking at right now is the requests list of all the requests in the system. There's a lot of filters on the left-hand side that allow you to filter by semester or by course or by department. You can also filter by processing status. So if you're just going through and checking copyright on everything, you can look across the whole semester and see what's unprocessed. You can see here that this is from last fall, so you'll notice these are expired, but you can see we can add things here like this note to students, so we can tell students this note will go through to Moodle, so they can see that this ebook link, we only have one simultaneous user, so you plan ahead because you may need to you may not have access to it right away. Faculty can also add notes, things like that. I want to show you what the copyright looks like. So I'm just going to go to one again. This has already been approved because this was from last fall. But if I open this up, I can see at the top that it says that license permissions are available. So that means that it's covered by the annual license. A staff member just has to click the button where you can see the CCC license. A staff checked it in July last year. You can also see the red warning signs. So eReserve has all of our readings in it, so it can alert us if there might be a copyright. We might exceed the amount we can use based on not just items in this course, but items from the same book that might be in other courses for the same time period. Oh my goodness, it went all the way back to the top. Oh no, that's not my wrong slide. Let's go back here. All right. These are my backups in case it failed. All right, so let's take a look at long last at eReserve in Folio. It is one eReserves is one of the first third-party applications developed within Folio, realizing the promise of the open architecture model of the entire Folio project. For those of you who've been with the Folio community for a long time, like before it was even implemented anywhere, one of the promises of this conceptual framework for the system was that we'd be able to it was designed to support multiple tools to do things differently or to do things that didn't exist already in Folio. So this represents one of the first proof of concepts of this, how this could work moving forward. eReserve Plus is a company that offers its subscribers the option of installing apps directly in Folio while also using the standalone web application to manage the same content. So where we saw this slide before, we're going to be moving the library and copyright staff from directly working in eReserve to now being able to work within Folio so that the same content is in the Folio app as is in the standalone app, and you would have access to both. So it's an identical backend, and you see changes on the immediately, and those changes would be shown. If you made a change in the Folio app, you would see it in the eReserve standalone and you would see it in Moodle immediately. All right, so let's take a look. So this is eReserve Plus in Folio. So one of the advantages of being in Folio is that library users will be able to stay directly in Folio for all of their work. The courses app is already in Folio. The eReserve course app will also be in Folio. It allows for flexible workflows so that library staff can work in Folio, but faculty will still be able to work in Moodle, and other users who might be doing copyright can still work in eReserve Plus. It also leverages the users from Folio, so you won't have to maintain separate user accounts within eReserve. You'll be able to use them directly from Folio. That's how Moodle works now. We don't create users for students or faculty within eReserve. They just get passed through from the Moodle credentials. So this is the insights page. It provides quick visual analysis. You can filter by lots of different ways, by semester, by department, or by course even. And it gives you some sort of on-the-fly analytics about different types of things, what's required versus recommended, how many links versus files, et cetera. I'm not going to go into great detail here, but this represents really the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the data. eReserve is keeping a lot of things, and you can get a lot of really granular data. And they have, in addition to the analytics dashboard here, you can also see there's a copyright report to give you, this is what we get when we send that off to our third-party vendor to help us with that. And then the utilization report, so you can get details about how resources are being used. There's also, in addition to the canned reports, APIs are also available to interact directly with the volume of data about usage and resources on the back end. So this is a similar, this request is the sort of the parallel to what I just showed you on the Amherst side. Requests are basically just readings. Each one of these is a reading. You can see the journal articles, the PDFs, links, et cetera. So essentially, when you're in requests, you can see things across all kinds of different courses. This is the same as on the Amherst side. So you can see there are some that are in a submitted status, which means it's just been submitted by a faculty member and needs to be reviewed. It could be in processing, meaning we might need to add a link to it or add a file to it. Or maybe it just needs copyright approval. Some of these have just been submitted. There are some that say needs review. Those are things that might need metadata review. And then there are some that are available. So these are already available in to students in their course. So this is in this same area, you can look at lists. So each one of these represents a course. And you can see some of these, this is test data. So you can see the number of resources that are added to each of these in the little yellow box. And I'm going to go to one of these to see what these resources look like. This is where you would go to organize things into folders. And you can see here, there are some that are not in folders and some that are in folders. And then from here, you are able to take action on these. So you're able to review them, change the reviewer. So if you are an organization that has multiple e-reserve staff, you could assign this to another person. You could reject it at this point. You could say, we didn't get copyright for this, and I need to immediately take it down. You can delete resources, and you can hide things from students. So when you look at something, you can see that it's currently being reviewed by a support engineer. And you can also see, from here, you can also decide to reject or approve a particular resource. All right, the roadmap includes enabling all current eReserve functionality in the Folio app. And current eReserve customers hosted by EBSCO can deploy the Folio app now. Get through my backup slides. And then finally, I want to talk a little bit about future possibilities. So once all the functionality of the eReserve Plus product is in Folio, there's lots of opportunities for integrations with the other parts of Folio, inventory metadata and resource availability, rather than having to go out to the discovery layer to resource metadata could get pulled directly from inventory as it does with the courses app. Acquisitions, there's lots of opportunities both for the acquisitions modules and external databases like Gobie and Mosaic for workflows that could trigger purchases directly within eReserve and tracking of acquisitions, and then potentially searching for ebooks and things like that in Gobie Mosaic and submitting the requests that way. And then from the license app side of things, potentially surfacing license limitations or things like that from licenses. And then on the pipeline for eReserve Plus more broadly, they are implementing a browser extension to harvest metadata directly. So that might allow us to eliminate Zotero as an intermediary. Some end user broken link reporting, which would send along the details of the broken item so that it's easier to simplifying reporting and expediting resolution. Messaging between faculty and reserve staff. So you could have a conversation about clarification of a citation directly in eReserve without having to go back and forth to your email, which would be helpful. And they're doing a lot in the way of accessibility. So automatic delivery of accessible versions on demand. So if you have a student who's identified in the LMS behind the scenes as needing an accommodation, they can automatically be served up a alternate version of a reading. It could be an audio version, a large print version, et cetera. And then finally, accessibility assessment by courses or department or overall. So you can assess how accessible your eReserve content is overall, or you could to prioritize your remediation efforts, or you can identify content within additional individual courses. So if you have a student with an accommodation and you want to just check to make sure that the courses they're taking are fully accessible, you can identify those quickly. All right, that was a lot. I want to see if there are any questions. I'm going to have you use the mic if you have questions, and I'm going to turn on my chat here to see the chat. David, I'm not sure so the eReserve Plus doesn't work yet with Courses app, but it could. One of the things I didn't mention is that there is support in eReserve for physical materials as well. It's not something we're using currently, but it is definitely something that I think there would be a lot of opportunity for integration down the pipe if it is once the functionality is built. I think there's a lot because anybody who knows the courses app knows that there's some room for improvement there. And Louisa, I would like to know if courses will continue to be used for physical reserves and e-reserve for electronic. Yeah. So I think there is some possibility. I think that there is a possibility that e-reserve plus could, with its support for physical resources, become the one-stop shop for all resources.
Hi, thank you. This is Autumn from Michigan State. I'm just wondering if D2L or Desire to Learn is among any of the learning management systems that eReserves works with.
I believe so. It basically uses the standard LTI. So any system that uses LTI.
So it should be able to.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm Meredith from Lehigh University. I have a question about ebooks and the e-reserves. Because we get professors who want to use ebooks for their classes. And how does that work with e-reserves and copyright? There are those ebook, if a professor wants the full ebook available to their class, do you have to field them in a different direction?
So we currently put our ebooks in eReserve Plus. You may have seen one of the folders was like course textbooks or, yeah. So we do put them in eReserve Plus. I know some of my colleagues in the five colleges use the courses app for ebooks. It's sort of a mixed bag. I think very clear, like print versus electronic when I think of the two different solutions. I mean, an ebook is essentially, you could sort of treat it as either, but it's always going to be a link as opposed to an uploaded PDF. So that's sort of why I put it in the camp of eReserve Plus, because anything that is a link is essentially electronic reserves in the way I think about it.
Hi, I'm Megan from Michigan State. Stop me if this is too technical, but you mentioned earlier that eReserves had an API endpoint to get the data out. For the Folio integration, do you know if there are equivalent endpoints in the Folio API that get data out of eReserves, or do you have to query into eReserves API to get the data out?
Well, right now, I think the latter, because I think eReserves, all the data is sitting in the eReserve database. It's not right now integrating at all with the Folio database. And the data that you would be pulling out would all live in the eReserve database. So I said you can get to it from the standalone, you can get to it through Moodle, you can get to it through Folio. It's all the same. There's only one thing that you're getting to, right? And that's where the API endpoints would go in.
Thank you. That makes sense.
Sure. Other questions in the room? Oh, video. We love our video. So it's a very good question. Video clips, our IT department handles. They actually have a player that Kaltura, which works in our LMS. Video clips are extremely complicated. We are moving much more to streaming video and streaming video sites because we're able to do it from a licensing perspective. It's created a bit of a bifurcation, however, of content, because some is in Kaltura, some we link to. If we have it electronically, we put it through e-reserves. So we actually have a link on LMS, you might have seen it, that says video reserves. But then, unless it's a link, and this is a relatively new problem, relatively, I say, like 5, 6, 7 years, so not super new, but videos that we link to have become a larger portion of our video reserves. And so it's very confusing to explain to students, well, it's video reserve, but it's not there, it's in your e-reserve. So we've started creating a folder for ebooks and a folder for video within e-reserve when there's multiple content types, because it clarifies it a little bit, but the video is still kind of the Wild West. If anybody has a solution for that, I'd love to hear it. Other questions? All right, you can get out early. And if anyone has questions after, please come see me. Thank you, folks online.